Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Julius Baer's Moving Markets podcast. It's Monday, the 6th of May, and my name is Helen Freer. I'll be talking about the latest market news with Jan Bopp this morning. And Menzel Pochinski is back, so in part two today, I'll be getting Menzel's latest thoughts from the technical side. I'll be asking him about equity markets and bond yields. But first up is Jan. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Helen.
Now, there were some difficult trading sessions over the course of last week with some quite strong intraday moves for both equities and bonds. Looking back at last week then, what were the key takeaways for markets, would you say?
You're right, Helen. It's been a tough start to the month for markets. And I think there were three takeaways, really. The first one was the no hike message from the Fed. That was certainly one of the major takeaways last week. Powell clearly signaled that future rate hikes are very unlikely, and that was something the market wanted to hear. Because with that, the Fed has removed a big overhang from equities, and not just equities, but from bonds as well. And secondly, the weaker than expected US jobs report on Friday, which raised rate cut hopes. The employment report for April showed signs of slowing demand in the labor market. Payrolls came in lower than expected, and earnings growth was also weaker in April. In fact, it was the lowest annual gain for average hourly earnings in almost 3 years. And in this respect, bad news is good news, Helen. The same goes for the US ISM manufacturing and services PMIs. Both fell below 50 points last week and are back in contractionary territory.
So in the end, Wednesday's no hike message and Friday's softer labor market data was the perfect combination for a strong end to the week.
Yeah, exactly, Helen. It gets the market thinking that rate cuts might not be off the table. Yields fell sharply on Friday. 10-year US Treasuries are now trading at 4.50. A week earlier, the benchmark yield was at 4.7%. So this is certainly a relief for markets. And even though that remains a high level, any sign of a peak is seen as good news.
And how did equity markets react?
It was fireworks on Friday, Helen. Equity markets rallied on the back of the jobs report, especially rate-sensitive sectors. That means the NASDAQ outperformed. The index was up 2% on the day, the S&P 500 1.3%, and there were strong gains in other regions as well. And then, Helen, there was one interesting development in global equity markets last week, and that's takeaway number three.
Okay, and that was?
Well, interestingly, while the world's focus is on the US equity market, Chinese equities, which had a terrible start to the year, as you probably remember.
I do remember. The market was down more than 13% at one point in January.
Yes, exactly. The index has continued to push higher and entered bull market territory last week, up more than 20% from its end of January lows. And not just that, while developed market equities had a bit of a rough patch in April, the Hang Seng became one of the world's top three performing equity markets. So only the Nikkei and, by a few basis points, the Euro Stoxx 50 have performed better year to date in local currency terms. However, and I really wasn't aware of the fact until Friday afternoon, really. If you compare the markets in dollar, euro or Swiss franc terms, which is more relevant to an investor because you do have a base currency in which you measure your portfolio return, the Hang Seng is now the best performing major equity market globally.
Okay, yeah, that is surprising. And this week, have Asian markets also kicked off the week well?
Yeah, they are mostly higher this morning, catching up with the strong end to last week for US equities. Mainland China is up 1.5% after returning from a holiday break. Then Hong Kong's Hang Seng, which was open last week, is swinging between gains and losses. And that's after this morning's stronger PMIs, which suggest a reasonable positive performance from the Chinese economy.
And what should investors expect for the week ahead then?
Well, I'm still with China. China's President Xi Jinping arrived in France already yesterday to begin talks aimed at stabilizing the nation's relationship with Europe. He tries to perform damage limitation on trade ties with the Eurozone, really. And this will continue this week. And then on the macro side, the University of Michigan's consumer survey will be among the key releases this week, including data on inflation expectations. This is interesting given the uptick we have seen in most recent inflation reports in the US. And then in Europe, the highlight will be the rate decision of the Bank of England and Q1 GDP data for the UK. Consensus expects the central bank to stay on hold, but setting the stage for a rate cut in June. And then the earnings season will begin to taper off this week, with almost 400 of the S&P 500 members having already reported. Notable releases this week include UBS, Walt Disney, and Infineon. And with that, back to you, Helen.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jan, for the nice roundup to start the week.
Thank you, Helen.
Almenzo, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning, Helen.
Now, I've talked about equity markets a bit with Jan already. We saw the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ pull back a bit last week, but then end the week in positive territory. What about the overall trend, though? Was this just a very short setback in the first half of the week, do you think?
Yes, I mean, when we look basically at the picture of the, let's say, the S&P 500, we can see that we had an initial sharp sell-off or minor sell-off in April. And since then, the market has been basically able to stabilize quite a bit. What is even more interesting is that when we look at the sentiment data, we can see that investors have become, again, fearful. So this correction, which we saw in April in the S&P 500, which basically was only a drop of less than 6%, was basically enough for investors to turn bearish again. And you remember, of course, our favorite saying, bull markets usually climb a wall of worry. So this is good news for the overall equity market as investors turn a bit more cautious.
And what about in Europe? I know in the Eurostoxx 50, the DAX and the CAC 40, we've seen a minor consolidation, but you still see a longer term uptrend there?
Yes, the picture is basically quite the same. So you have an extreme uptrend from the October lows, and the consolidation is really very minor. So this is a typical behavior of a bull market. So please remember, in bull markets, the corrections that take time to correct short-term overbought readings or short-term euphoric sentiment readings does not happen by price, in the sense that prices decline. It happens by time. So, for example, European equities peaked in mid-late March and basically have been going sideways. So this is a typical bull market correction where strong markets consolidate their overbought readings by just going sideways. So in this case as well, we would expect here that these markets are ready for new all-time highs.
And what about the UK? I mean, is that a similar story again? Because, I mean, they've been doing better than other major markets in Europe, right?
Yes, very interesting. So the UK, and this was one of our readings in March when or April when global equity markets corrected, the UK basically broke out to new 52-week and all-time highs. And the UK equity market has a little bit of a leading indicator in the sense that it is more cyclical. So there are more commodity related and financial stocks in there. And this, of course, is a bullish sign. So when we look at UK equities, we see that they are trading at all time highs. So this is, of course, a bullish sign. But I have to warn here a little bit not to get too excited, because UK equities in the very, very long term remain massive underperformer, because not only are these stocks underperforming in nominal terms, they are underperforming as well due to the weak British pound. So overall, in the short term, a bullish sign, but not really a sign to go very bullish on UK equities for global investors.
Let's move on to bonds. The 10-year US Treasury yield is at 4.5% this morning, so a bit lower than this year's highs of 4.7% that we saw in late April. What are the charts saying here, Menzel? Which direction do you think yields are going now?
Well, most likely the short-term steep uptrend from April has been broken. and now investors to reassess. And the easiest or the most obvious level to focus here is probably the middle of the previous range, so around 430. So we think there is a good chance that US Treasury yields go back towards 430. This is confirmed as well when we look at oil prices. So oil prices have failed as well to move to new highs and are going back to their previous range. So these indicate a little bit of a Goldilocks scenario for financial markets, where you have inflation pressures easing, so oil and treasury yields coming down. And on the other hand, equity markets still doing quite well. So usually this is the best of all times for equities.
Excellent. Thanks very much for joining me this morning, Menzo.
Thank you, Helen.
So that is all for today. Thank you again to my guests and thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And please also leave us a review on whichever platform you like to listen on. And do join us again tomorrow when I'll be back and talking to more of our colleagues about what is moving markets. Have a great start to the week, everyone, and bye for now.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliasbear.com/legal/podcasts for further other important legal information.
Beyond Markets is a weekly podcast where Julius Bear experts and external speakers discuss some of the latest market developments. They share their key research and insights on today's ever-changing economic landscape and present practical advice. Search for Beyond Markets on your favorite podcast player.